I wanted to find how to fix the problem. I couldn't. There's nothing I could do that could fix it. So then you end up beating yourself up, thinking you're not good enough and you're not this. And all that time, you're not actually dealing with how you feel. And it's very easy for the dads to get overlooked in this whole process.
Welcome along, everyone. This is the Still Parents Podcast, supported by Global's Make Some Noise. We are live. How are we, chaps? Are we okay? You're right there, Ryan.
I'm very well, thank you.
It's been a busy week, isn't it? We were in here a few days ago with James Green.
That's right. Yeah.
From he was a great guest, wasn't he? He was. It was good. How are you, Matt? You okay?
Very well.
You've done a half marathon today.
I have. Yeah, 1 hour 39, and I knocked 8 minutes off my time compared to 2 years ago. So, drug testing.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt's been on the Nandrolone.
He's been blood doping. Yeah.
Our guest today, who actually has joined us briefly before on one of our mini episodes that we did towards the end of last year, which if you're listening in your future, 2023, for Baby Loss Awareness Week, and you join us on these. We did a series of episodes during that week, and you join us on the final one, and returns today for a full episode as promised. It's David Slan. How are you, David? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm better for yesterday after Wolves' victory and a couple of weeks ago, Wolves beating the Albion.
Now, let me explain, if you are not into football and maybe not listening from the UK. So, obviously, where we record this, which is just on the outskirts of Birmingham. So, Ryan is an Aston Villa fan. I'm Leicester. We have Matt, who's West Bromwich Albion. And their direct rivals are David's team, Wolverhampton Wanderers, who actually met in a very, very friendly...
Yeah, shall we say.
FA Cup match, which... I mean, I'm joking, but...
No, but...
It's back, because it's straight... We got the Euros coming up and it degenerated, didn't it? And it was all, it was just fighting, kicking off, and it was, I don't want to overplay it either, but it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
And was it you?
He started it.
I can't confirm or deny it.
Were you sat near it?
Yeah, I sat right in the sort of, as you're looking at the away end on the left. No, it wasn't me.
If you'd like to listen to David's shorter episode like we did for the Baby Loss Awareness Week, the link for that is in the description. I think they're only around 10 minutes or so. The link is in the description for that. Yeah, David, so we'll get straight into it. Yep. And same as we ask every single guest, please tell us about your story with your son, Kobe. And in as much detail as you want, if you need a moment, obviously, take as long as you need.
Yeah, so obviously we found out we were pregnant. We'd already had our son, Ruben, in 2021. Smooth pregnancy, no problems, yeah. Apart from it being COVID, which was a bit of a ball ache.
Yeah.
But yeah, smooth pregnancy. We went for a gender scan about 18 weeks to find out the gender of the baby. You could tell straight away that something was wrong because they sent us out of the room, called us back into the room, sent us out of the room, back into the room.
Oh.
And obviously you just know that something wasn't quite right. So the sonographer said, look, there's a problem, but I need to contact the hospital because I'm not 100% sure what it is. But this was a Sunday, the 26th of March, Sunday afternoon, and she couldn't get through to the hospital. So she said, I'll ring them first thing Monday morning, which she did. But the earliest they could see us then was the 3rd of April. So it was like another week's wait, which...
Oh, that's torture.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible, mate, to be honest with you. So we just went and got a private scan done down in Solihull with like a sort of a specialist, so to speak.
How many days after?
We had that done on the Wednesday after the Sunday. The consultant that we saw basically told us that Kobe had a condition called LUTO, which is a lower urinary tract obstruction. So basically he couldn't empty his bladder. So I didn't know this, but the amniotic fluid around the baby is actually the baby emptying its bladder. So Alicia's amniotic fluid was non-existent because Kobe couldn't empty his bladder. And on the scan photos, you could see his bladder. His bladder was like bigger than his whole body put together, basically.
Oh.
But you still don't kind of believe it when they tell you. So we was obviously doing loads of research and we found there's like operations you could have, like shunts and stuff, but majority of it was in America. And so then we went to the appointment on that Monday with the NHS. And basically we met with a fetal medicine specialist called Dr. Churchill, who's been brilliant really throughout this whole thing. He confirmed what the mums had told us that it was. And he said basically, like, he won't survive so we can't.
They were straight up with that.
Yeah,
up until that point, because you had like a week, wasn't it? So
yeah,
did you? Were you just left in limbo? Was there any sort of idea that you knew which, you know, where things might head?
No,
well, mentally that's not a good place to be, is it?
It was tough that week. Just sat around waiting, really.
Yeah.
And like you say, you go on the internet and you see all this stuff. So then we were asking.
Natural, isn't it? You're straight on there,
you do.
And everything's worst case scenario, isn't it?
So I was thinking, oh God. So then it's like, as a bloke, I guess, you're like, right, how can I fix this? So it's like, right, how much is it going to be to go to America and get this operation done? Let's do it. If we can, let's do it.
Yeah.
But then obviously we spoke with Dr. Churchill. We asked him about the shunts and he was just honest with us. There's a reason why they don't do it in the UK.
What is that reason?
It's just the success rate is pretty much nil.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
Really?
Yeah. And it's an awful procedure because it's basically they go in and they put a shunt in the baby to release the fluids. So it comes with lot of problems.
Yeah, because that might lead,
huge
Have you
problems.
Heard about this procedure, Ryan and Matt? Is this something you hear about?
I only heard it, obviously, because David, we've spoken about this and, I only found out once,
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. So we went into that meeting at New Cross and Wolverhampton and, he just said, like, the baby is not going to survive. He needs to come out because there's no point in Lisa going full term because he just won't survive.
Sorry, how many weeks were you at the time?
So he was, at this point, now we're probably about 19 weeks.
Right.
Yes, so that was the Monday. And then they booked us in then to New Cross on the Wednesday. And they induced Alicia into labour. But we was in what they have there at New Cross. It's called the Willow Suite. And it's away from the main maternity unit. And it's like two private rooms with like a little kitchen sort of lounge area. And like, I can't tell you how good the staff were at New Cross. Everyone we've accounted across the whole process was brilliant.
That's fantastic.
And it was a bit surreal, to be honest with you, because obviously we'd done it already with Ruben, but we were going in to give birth knowing that we weren't going to bring a baby home.
And you hit the nail on the head by saying surreal, because I'm guessing, like you said a couple of moments ago, you're not believing it. So you still think, there's part of you, because it's not processed yet, is it?
No. I think that walking in to the hospital and seeing like people coming out with their babies in their carriers, it was a bit like, fuck, what, this ain't going to happen to us, like, we're not going to do it.
It's like life's been just completely unkind, and just, it's almost tormenting you by that bit there, because you're like, you're seeing these people come out, as you said, knowing that, it's got to happen, obviously, you've got to go in and out someplace, but it's like life is just tormenting.
We mentioned that before, haven't we? It always seems to be. I was going to pick you up on this actually because you mentioned how that was it, the Willow Suite. You said and it was away from the maternity suite.
Yeah.
So that we haven't heard, because quite often it's been literally right next door with some of the guests that we've had on.
Yeah, which I can't even imagine, like, because you know what you're there for.
It's hammering it home, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, and so we're so grateful. And it was little things like when we went to the maternity desk, they'd give us like a key word to say, so that they knew what we were there for. So someone come and got us, and then we went up in like the staff elevator, so we didn't have to go anywhere near maternity ward or anything. So I've got a few notes here, but only because that whole period was like an absolute blur, and I couldn't even tell you like what days things happened on.
It's good to journal it.
Yeah. We went into the Willow Suite, and to be honest with you, I think I still hadn't accepted it, because it was only like 8 days later. Well, we only sort of got the second concrete opinion on the Monday. And then on the Wednesday, we were in hospital to lose our baby. So we just hadn't had time to process anything. And we went in there, and in the end, Alicia, like, she laboured for like 3 days. And I think it was because neither of us were ready to, because we knew when the end result of labour was going to result in something that we didn't want to happen. Her body was almost like saying, I don't want this to happen. So every time she was getting contractions, it was almost like fighting the contractions, because we knew it was going to be bad. So it was just the most surreal experience I've ever had, to be honest with you.
Did they tell you had to make a decision that quickly, or was that just...
No, they didn't tell us they had to make a decision, but with the facts that he gave us and the stuff that you could clearly see on the scan that his bladder was like... in a scale so much bigger, and then I'd read about the other conditions that could come with it, and then when the fetal medicine specialist said, look, he's not going to survive this pregnancy, it was a kind of a decision that it was taken out of our hands in a way, because there's no way that we'd continue with it, because he would have then just ended up passing away inside of Alicia. Mm. And she'd have had to keep being pregnant and keep being reminded of what's going to happen. Mm. So I think that was a big consideration for us. And look, I've read stats. There are babies that can survive, but because of when Kobe contracted Luto, that period between 18 and 22 weeks is when they're growing the most. So they're growing their organs. And because of his bladder, it meant that his other organs weren't growing. And when he actually was born, you could see defects in his hands and his fingers, which would have obviously just got worse and worse over the time.
Right.
So I think, yes, they didn't rush us, not at all. But it was a decision that, I think when we went into that meeting, we'd already looked at everything for a week straight. And we'd pretty much decided of what's going to happen here.
It's almost like out of respect for him as well.
Yeah, right? And it's a thing that, like, I've always had animals and I've had dogs, and I've always said, like, sadly, after Kobe died, like 2 months later, I had to put my dog to sleep as well. Yeah. And you've been selfish when you know that something's going to be so badly impacted and 99.9% chance of not making it. You're being selfish then, and we felt that we had no other option, and that was the fairest thing for Alicia and for Kobe, because he wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, we had that. This obviously it's different, but we had that decision with Callie eventually to leave her behind. You know, I'd still be there now,
yeah,
if I could. But her skin was changing; she was starting to.
It's on the cold car, wasn't it?
Yeah. Starting to leak a little bit and things, and eventually it's like it is. It's that whole. It's such a dreadful decision, but it would have been selfish for us to have even another day with Callie, because she was already passed away, but she was changing. Mm. So it's massively. Respect. It's respect.
Plus, I think, and I don't admit this, it's an awkward thing to say, plus it's probably good in the long run for you. I mean, you did spend a considerable amount of time, and but you know, there's a point where it's maybe not so good for you to see that deterioration. Definitely. You know?
And even when she came back from her post-mortem and she was up at the co-op, and we were able to go and see her up at the co-op before her funeral.
Just have for clarity there that the co-op is a funeral.
Oh, sorry, home.
I know what'll happen. Not somebody will go that they've been the shop.
No, yeah.
And I know obviously it's not the shop, but the co-op is a funeral directors in England. Yeah. This is for people listening across the pond that they haven't gone the co-op as in the shop.
No, yeah, those English are weird, aren't they?
They'll be at the back of the shop there, No, the co-op funeral home. Sorry, well done, Ryan, for clarification.
It's the same company though.
I don't know.
It's next door to the actual. That funeral home is next door to it.
From a visual, visual perspective, aisle five.
No, it's across the board. Good
point. Right.
Good point. But so we had 3 days where we could have visited her.
Yeah.
But I think what you said about the mental side, was that we went and saw her the first day, and then me and Crystal were like, can't do that again.
Because you've got to think longer term. I know it's hard in the moment, isn't it? But longer term,
you need to start recovering,
Amy wanted to see Lily.
Right.
I can't remember if it was the day before or a couple of days before a funeral. And I subtly had to try and talk her out of it because it was, I didn't want Amy remembering Lily like that rather than what we'd seen her like the last time we'd seen her in hospital.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to. You make a good point, but I'm also trying to imagine you being subtle,
like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
No, do you know what? I think I did actually say to her outright. I just said I don't think it's a good idea because
you have to be blunt.
You have to be cruel to be kind, don't you?
And I think with Luto as well, it's such a rare condition, but it's. It all depends on when they develop it, because obviously if they develop it like 28, 29 weeks, they can survive it.
There's more of a chance.
Is gone. So it just, in Kobe's case, it was just so early, and we've since had genetic testing done and it's all come back clear, which obviously is brilliant. But yeah, he's just unlucky at the end of the day. That was it.
How rare is
I think it's
Luto?
Like 1 in 100,000 or something
crazy,
like that.
It's crazy.
So there's the injustice. You go, bloody hell, I have to be that one.
Yeah, I know.
It's just crazy.
But it's just like, going back to the whole experience in the Willow Suite, like, I'm in the dads and granddads group that we've got,
That's our WhatsApp group, by the way. If you'd like to join it, we'll leave the details in the description. Yeah.
Like the stories I hear about how people have been treated at different hospitals and stuff, and I just like sort of count my blessings that how lucky we were.
It's a good point. There's been some we've had in our group and also on the podcast. Yeah. One which stands out is Kelly Jean-Philippe from America. The doctor walked in and sat with his back to him. Yeah. He's only talking to his wife.
It's crazy. And they were brilliant. And in the end, they said to us that look, when he comes out, he's probably going to be passed away. And in the end, he was born. And this is like such a shit thing to deal with, because to start with, I was thinking, like, I hope he has passed away when he comes out, because if he's alive, then your instinct is like, help him, save him, let's help him.
Yeah.
But they said to us, like, more than likely he's going to be passed away, because, again, when it's a medical termination, they offer any sort of painkillers because they're not having to sort of worry about the baby.
Does that give a bit of extra peace? You know, there's the suffering, that part is mentally, it's starting for you, but for Kobe, that is the piece is there.
Exactly.
Now.
I was just about to ask that. Can you just take you back a step?
Yeah.
When they said about that, they said like there's you know, he's probably going to have passed away by the time that. Can you remember what your feelings, thoughts, emotions were?
I think it was a bit like, it's that kind of,
because that makes it real, right?
It makes it real, but then I think from what, like, we've obviously spoke a lot, Matt, haven't we? And I think for me, it probably didn't feel real till 3-4 months later down the line.
Yeah.
Alicia eventually gave birth, and the midwife passed him to Alicia, and she said that, oh, he's passed. And Alicia was holding him in the bed, and then all of a sudden, like, he like twitched.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Like, and all you want to do is like, and so Alicia's like, he's alive. So the midwife took him, put him like under the light, and called a doctor in, and the doctor was like, yeah, he's alive. And then they passed him back to us, and it's like, I was just like, what the hell's going on?
Oh,
here?
Shit.
So he was born alive. So he lived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he lived for 46 minutes, and then he passed. And at the time of 46 minutes later, they had a look and they said.
So how do you feel about that in hindsight now? In hindsight, what we've just been talking about for the last couple of minutes.
In hindsight, I'm so glad that it happened, because we obviously got a birth certificate. We got a death certificate.
The reason I'm asking, your eyes lit up a little bit when you mentioned 100%, that.
100%. And it meant we could have a full funeral for him and everything. And obviously, I can't speak for other people, but I'm so glad it happened, because now he was here. He was here for 46 minutes. I got to hold him for 46 minutes. Yes, he wasn't like fully formed, but he did look like a baby.
It was your boy, he was there,
exactly. And that was massive for us, because we got to remember him, and he's got his down in the Cannock in the cemetery. He's got his memorial down there.
Yeah.
We had a full funeral for him, and I go down there quite a lot, to be honest. Going back to what we touched on before about not wanting to leave, obviously we had one of the cold cots which he was in, and I don't think we would have left, to be honest, because you don't want to leave him. It's your kids, do you? But like Matt,
he said himself, he'd still be there. Yeah.
But like Matt was saying, it's like that. I saw him when he came out, and he didn't look like a sort of a 40-week-old baby, but he looked like a baby still. And the change from that to like 24 hours later, it wasn't pretty. Do you know, he'd gone all like stiff, and I said to Alicia, look, like, I don't want to remember him like this. Like, I want to remember him like how he came out, not looking like this.
Yeah.
So we left the Willow Suite, and that's sort of what happened. That's our story.
There's three things which you can take from that story that David has just shared. Firstly is that 18 weeks he lived.
Mm.
Okay, so therefore he was valid straight away. And I hate
that word valid.
No, I know. Yeah. And I don't just mean because he's always valid to you guys, but to
legally,
the public system. And legally and the system, he's valid.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So he existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple as that. You got the birth certificate, you got a death certificate and so forth. But also the fact that you're prepared to tell your story, and it's a story where you have had to make the devastating choice to terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we find within the charity or people that I've spoken to in the past that have had support through the charity for a medical termination for reasons that a pregnancy couldn't continue is that they feel that they don't have a voice.
Yeah.
And you're giving people that voice. Yeah. And that's when you sort of think about, being able to give people that voice and being able to sit here and talk and show that your little boy existed. And yes, you had to make that devastating decision, but at the same time, you did it for the reasons that you did it for. You're giving people a voice, and those people are desperate.
Absolutely.
I don't want to sound like I'm trying to give loads and loads and loads to people that make that decision. But out of every bereaved parent that I meet, whether it's parents that have experienced a stillbirth or a neonatal death or had to terminate, it's the termination ones who genuinely feel like they don't have a voice.
Yeah.
And I think you're giving them that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
really good.
I think it's a real tough one because it's kind of the only one really where you have to make a choice. And it for some people, I imagine it's very hard to live with that choice.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel they must feel bad because you all the humans naturally wonder, what if? But unfortunately, in stuff like this, there is no what ifs. The what if would have been the same.
And you can torture yourself with that for years, isn't it? Because you nail on the head. It's true. Whatever decision you make, then the one which you didn't make, if I'd have done that.
Yeah.
But also that decision as well that you guys have had to make, not only have you got the what if question, but then you also have the what are people thinking of us question. You know, have we made the right decision? Shit, what are they saying about us? Yeah. What are they saying about
us? Not that it's anyone's business.
But
you're right. But
some people will be more concerned about that than others. And I'm not saying there's any right or wrong way to do it. But yeah, some people will really. And they might even make their decision based on what other people will think rather than what is actually the best for them and their partner.
Absolutely.
100%, yeah. And I think that's where you just have to, stay strong and you have to make the right decision based on the available information and what you're given, really.
Speaking of staying strong, you already had Ruben, wasn't it, who was just over 2, I believe, at the time. Ruben just turned 3 on Valentine's Day.
He did, yeah.
Sorry, let me go back. What's it like having a birthday on Valentine's Day? Does that mean Valentine's Day is now like not a thing?
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Like you said, you mentioned about strength. Now, the reason why I want to focus on that word is because you had Ruben, who's 2 years old. You just lost Kobe and everything that you've just mentioned. But then there's a 2-year-old. You've got to go home. You've still got to be daddy. At least you've still got to be mummy. You've still got to be husband and wife. Yeah. How did you personally find that as an individual and together with Alicia as a couple?
To be honest with you, Rue was the reason we got through it because you can't tell a 2-year-old to chill out, leave me alone. I'm not getting out of bed today.
Well, you can, but it won't work.
Exactly.
Because you'll come back 5 minutes later and jump on your head, right?
They almost stop you feeling sorry for yourself because you just can't do it. Like, he still needs to get up and go to nursery. He needs to be fed. He needs to be played with, and you just can't do it. So you can't stop. You can't sit there and feel like
gives you purpose, massive purpose.
Yeah. Huge purpose. And I spoke to Matt before about it, and like if we didn't have had Rue, then I think we'd have been in a real, real world of pain. But we have to keep going. We had to stay strong for Rue.
I'm interested because obviously with Lily Mae and. So Matt and yourself spent a lot of time talking and I just want to pick up on what you said because obviously with Matt and your loss with Callie, you didn't have Etta at the time. So you had that different perspective was that part of the conversations
We do this every couple of weeks, right? And we all bring our own kind of perspective to things and I think it's just to kind of, a lot of the work that we do with people is we try and validate feelings and try and validate, you know, emotions and things. And I said that the issue, you know, the thing is what David said about Ruben was to, and I said to him a lot was, hold on to him, you know, because from experience I can tell you that without another little person in your life when you lose, I've said this many, many times, I don't know how we did those early days. I'll never know how we did those early days. We did them because you have to, but other people might not. And at times it's just Groundhog Day all the time. And I'm not saying it isn't Groundhog Day for people who've got children already, because it will be.
But from a perspective,
absolutely. But that Groundhog Day is broken up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's easy. Easier to deal with because you've got a purpose.
That, you know, talked about it loads, but it's that, you know, the decision I made to take Crystal across that field, it was breaking the Groundhog Day, and it was that, looking back, it was daft. But we got to the sixth day, and we'd been in the house for 6 days, and I was like, I said to Crystal, we've got to do something here.
This is the first episode you're ever listening to, I've got to reference this quickly. You can hear the full story. I'll put the link in the description. But Matt, it was at 6 days, wasn't it? And so we've got to break their Groundhog Days. So he took Crystal, and she was still wearing her maternity
stockings, and it was boiling.
A big field next to Birmingham Airport. And it was on the hottest day of the year. And I think it's...
Hiked her across a field.
Yeah. Crystal, Matt's other half... People thought he'd kidnapped me.
Yeah, that's a great impression.
Sorry, Crystal. Speaking of relationships, how long have you and Alicia been together?
So we've been married 5 years tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Kept that quiet.
Congratulations. Yeah.
And we've been together since 2013, so 11 years.
Obviously, by the time this edited version goes out, the anniversary would have passed. But congratulations. Thank you. We got any up to anything? I'm putting you on the spot here. Tell me to shut up.
Yeah, you can... It might be a little surprise.
You're taking her to watch Wolves.
Yeah. We've got Brighton at home next Wednesday. You can come to that.
You're spending part of your day with me.
I am, yes.
Oh, well, I hope you have a great day. Being serious, from the couple's angle, and we just had our Valentine's Day episode, and we know that it can either go one way or another. Yeah. Not everyone will stay together. It doesn't happen anyway, just in general life. But with the added toil that losing your own fucking child adds to it, how have you? Because it's still only it's a year, isn't it?
It's coming up to a year. Yeah.
How have you found that? Especially, let's look at it from a year ago up to now, and how you two have managed to, I'm guessing you've gone on your own journeys, but you've also done it together.
Yeah, hugely.
You're supporting each other at times, yeah.
We're completely different people.
Right.
And Matt knows this, and she won't mind me saying this at all. Like, Alicia doesn't like to talk about anything, really. Mm. She bottles it all up, whereas I find the best thing is to talk about it. But in terms of a relationship, I'd say it probably actually brought us closer together because of the shit that we've been through.
Yeah.
You kind of feel a bit unbreakable. But in terms of our grief journey, it's been polar opposite. She hasn't had any counselling. She doesn't want it. It's not that she...
Well, that would have been through you, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we kind of, we just...
Have you wanted her to?
I don't necessarily want her to have counselling. I want her to, if she wants to express her feelings, then happy. But if I've learned quite quickly, I think Matt was saying, like, don't put pressure on because everyone's different. So and that's what I did. I sort of let her be her and just there if she needs me, she knows that.
He's a good one, isn't he? He's a good one, isn't he?
He is good, man.
How long did it take for you and Alicia to, obviously you still had Ruben or Rue, can I call him Rue?
Rue, call him, yeah.
To find yourself... having a moment where you're laughing and smiling and I'm not feeling guilty.
Yeah, the funny story is we come out the Willow Suites at New Cross and it was quite late and there weren't many cars around and stuff. So we had Alicia's sister in my car with me. So she was in the back, Alicia was sat in the front. So I drove out the car park and I've come down to the little roundabout as you go out to go on the main road. And this geezer looks like he's homeless, like he's walking towards me. And obviously we was all dead somber, not speaking, and I was kind of in a state of shock still. Mm. So this geezer walks up to the window and I put the window down, not really thinking. And then he goes to say something, but at the same time, he puts his hand in the car. I shit myself, put the window up, start driving, his fingers are trapped in the car. And he's going, my fingers!
That serves him right, to be honest.
I put the window down and
he was only asking the way to the bus stop.
That's what we think he wanted.
You could do that from outside the car.
They've dragged him 3 miles away from the bus stop at the
time. So he got home and he had a finger in the top of it.
But obviously, obviously we all then just burst out laughing. Yeah.
Well, apart from him.
Yeah, apart from him. And that sort of like broke the ice a little bit. So that was good.
Did you do the old casual, sorry, mate?
No, I went, what the fuck's he ones?
That's fantastic.
But yeah.
Oh, I bet he's told everyone about you.
Oh, he probably has, mate. But after, I thought, like, what did he want? I thought he was trying to grab you or something.
Well, yeah, honest, he might have been.
Yeah.
You don't know, do you? You got to be, on a serious note, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was a funny little story. It broke our mood because we were obviously leaving Kobe behind. That was obviously, as you probably can imagine as well, like it's a hard, that thought that you're actually leaving your child behind.
Moment.
Yeah. But it has been hard. It's been a long road, and we tried to stay strong for Roo, and we tried to still not let it affect him. And
yeah.
I'm so grateful that he was the age that he was when it happened, because
did he have any idea?
He didn't have any idea.
In the mummy's got the tummy and
no, the Willow Suite were amazing. So they like designed him all pictures and stuff, and they sent pictures back with us to say this is your baby brother.
How is he now? Because he's just turned through. Obviously, he's still young, but that we spoke about it a lot, and obviously those questions that time will come.
Yeah, and this is really like what I was going to say on here. This is why I want to come on the podcast, because I feel like the awareness of everyone really is. People don't know what to say, and in our house, Kobe is like spoken about every day. Rue knows about Kobe. Mm. You ask Rue where Kobe is, and he'll say he's in the sky. We drive past the crematorium every single day, and Rue now knows. He looks and goes, "There's Kobe."
God bless.
So we make a big point.
It's part of his daily life.
Yeah, we make a big point about speaking about Kobe.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
and what probably amazed me the most during this whole thing is how people that we thought were really close to us, they've not been horrible, but they just don't mention him. And you think
it comes up a lot, this, doesn't it?
Yeah, loads. And I listen and I hear it and I think, yeah, you're right. And
do you find on the flip side people that maybe were a bit further away?
Yeah, 100%. People you never expected to be there are the ones that actually are there.
Yeah.
And well, it's almost like people don't
these two are nodding.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
And it's crazy to me, like people don't mention it and then they won't acknowledge it. It's basically even happened.
What do you think? Do you think that's because? I've said this to Ryan before. Do you feel that you've come across as approachable in that sense? Like, do you think your friends go, okay, he wants me to? Because there's that emotional intelligence. Okay, there's some days where I know I'm cool to have a word with you, and some days like, okay, I need to leave him the fuck alone today.
Yeah, I think so, because I made a thing I said to Matt at the start of this whole journey is that I would never let my overriding emotion be anger about this. I did never wanted to turn into that angry person.
You got a very calm aura.
That's lost someone. I'm pissed off with the world. You can fuck off. I never wanted to be like that because it's not their fault what happened to me. It's no one's fault. So why would I be angry? Even though I felt angry at times. And like I always remember one time when Alicia was in the Willow Suite, I'd come downstairs for some fresh air and there's a pregnant woman, must be about 38, 40 weeks, massive belly, having a fag outside.
Oh.
And I just wanted to say to her, like, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, I'm up here about to lose my son. We've done everything possible the right way to have this child. You're going to have this, your kid, and you've done fuck all. You're smoking. Like,
you
just
want to
shake them and say, what are you doing? So that's probably the only time I actually felt fully angry.
Should have been her Andy trapped in the window.
Should have been.
Moving forwards from where you were and going back now to last June when you joined us with your mate Macca to do the Snowdon Sunrise.
Yep.
And I think that sums it up as well.
People that don't know Snowdon, obviously it was so, the Snowdon Sunrise is
basically, we climb Snowdon.
In the dark.
In the dark.
And in rain.
Because we're fucking stupid like that.
For any of our audience in America and Australia.
Sums it up. Really.
Yeah, because they got proper big mouth. Any of our audience in Australia and America.
It's much like, bigger than that.
It's like climbing a molehill.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah.
A speed bump.
No, yeah. So yeah, we start at... around about 1:30, 2:00 in the morning, peak.
Yeah.
Hopefully see a sunrise, which actually we did 2023.
Oh, the pictures were amazing.
We didn't see one in 2022. It was like, it was just biblical up there. But then, and then we walked back down and we're finished by sort of seven in the morning. But David did it with his mate, Macca. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw Macca for the first time, I thought, oh shit, like he looks, well, he looked proper moody.
Yeah.
Covered in tattoos. Don't have an issue with that because I've got loads of tattoos myself. But the one thing which stuck out for me from that is that as a mate of yours, he was able to just hold a conversation with any single person within that group who had lost a baby.
And after the walk, he said to me that he's never felt so inspired in his life.
Lovely. Amazing.
And they're the friends that you want around you.
100%, absolutely. Yeah.
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 Absolutely right. Definitely. And I mean, he was a great lad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a great lad.
What's his name? Macca?
Macca, yeah.
Big ups, Macca.
He's a big, big tattoo artist. Very good.
Oh, Ryan's going to be phoning him now for his next one.
I'll have to say award-winning now.
Oh, is he?
Is he? Is,
yeah, just won an award at the Paris Tattoo Convention.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Fair well play done, Macca. To him. Yeah, man. That's Macaulay.
Yeah.
That's his name, isn't it? Macaulay
Sims.
Yeah.
Like we said, everyone, it's amazing. you've said numerous times on the podcast, it's amazing where people that you probably weren't necessarily really, really close with suddenly come from nowhere and they are the ones that get you through it, really.
But can I ask a question around Macca?
Yeah. Right,
because again, it's interesting to look at the dynamics of friendship.
He's
going to
think this is a Macca show.
The dynamics of friendship and stuff. Has he done anything special? Or is he just being a mate for you?
Good question.
I know that he's done
good question.
Your tattoo.
Yeah, things, so I think...
I know he walked with you, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, so he walked with me. And, you know, it's little things. Like, for instance, that picture there. I had no idea, and he turned up on the morning and he'd made the hats with Kobe on.
Right.
So it's little things like
that's
that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But no. So, that's special.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think it's more the remembering them, isn't it?
Right.
I think that's the
day-to-day
to
stuff. Yeah, yeah. It's consistency, yeah, right?
It's including them as part of your family as if they were living still. Right. That's probably the best way to sum it up, isn't it?
That's good.
You know,
if
you had a child, yeah, if people didn't ask me about Ruben, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you not asking me about Ruben? So why are you not asking me about Kobe?
Yeah.
Do you know what else as well, though, which I found with him when we were climbing and... Because inevitably we sort of mixed with different people at different times because people get tired and what have you. Is that actually he'd just listen.
Yeah.
He wouldn't try and say something that it was almost like he knew. He just sort of knew his place.
Yeah,
I mean that in the nicest possible way. I don't mean that necessarily at all.
He knows it wasn't. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not about him, and it's not his. And he's literally, I don't mean this in a bad way, but the least important person on the climb. He's there, he's supporting his boy.
But he showed an interest in everybody else's story.
That's why I love that question.
He was there for the support.
Yeah,
and you could genuinely see that support that he was there for. And like you said, he was genuinely inspired when he'd finished.
I think that was a great question, because when you said that then, Matt, we're like, did he do anything special? And I think, as you guys spoke about in the answer, I think the special part is that consistency.
But that's it. I've always said this in the sense of bereaved parents don't need to be treated differently.
No.
They're proud to talk about their children.
Yeah.
They like to talk about their children. We're not going to talk about them all the time because I don't talk about Etta all the time, right? But Callie's my daughter. She'll always be my daughter for the rest of my life and I will talk about her.
Yeah.
Right? And Ryan's always said about if you get the question about how many children you've got and then you answer it. And Ryan said, you said along the lines of Ryan about the fact of if you answer it and you say, well, I've got so-and-so children and then they ask about, and then you watch for the awkward, you know, sometimes for the awkwardness. And then you're like, well, actually,
you know, it's coming.
I live this every day, right? So, and you're not trying to make people feel awkward. We don't set out to make people feel awkward, but it's just giving you a little glimpse of what we live every day. And it's not being an arrogant dickhead about it. I'm just saying, like...
I remember saying to somebody not that long ago, I can't for the life of me remember who it was now who asked me how many children I'd got. And I said, I've got five. And then I said about Alfie, Freddie, Ivy, Bobby, and then I actually turned around to him and I said, and now here's the awkward part.
Oh, that's how you framed it?
Yeah, that's how I framed it to them. Yeah. And I didn't do it as
That's probably a good way of doing it.
I said, and now here's the awkward bit. Yeah. I've also got a daughter who sadly was stillborn.
Yeah.
And I think because I'd broken the ice a little bit there, it made it a little bit easier to have that sort of conversation.
It's almost like you give it a mental full stop before you went in with the awkward part.
Yeah. And I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but it wasn't that long ago. Definitely within the last couple of months.
Interesting.
And that was that is the first time I've ever used that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Where I've said, oh, now for the awkward part. And I said it with a bit
would
of
you
a,
use it? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would do, definitely. Yeah.
Bit of a smartness, bit of a smile.
It was like a little bit of a grin.
Right, yeah.
As if to say, right, you're going to feel awkward, but there's no need to feel awkward.
Well,
you're
addressing the elephant.
I'm addressing the elephant in the room. Exactly.
Right.
And that's right, what you said a moment ago, you know, with the, you don't want to be treated special or any different. Or in a particular way, and don't, you know, you're not going to talk about Callie 100% of every conversation. I mean, to be honest, we do a podcast about baby loss and you spend half of it talking about the Hollywood sign.
or how many R's are there?
Yeah. but I think they're really good points, well said. Gents, we've nearly been on for an hour. David, thank you so much. You're always welcome to come back on any time. This is not the end. I'm going to say, if there's anything that you feel that you've not mentioned that you would like to say, then please do. We haven't spoken about work, so I want to do that briefly because obviously how that affects limited how much time you had off what you do for a living and, yeah. and how that either helped or didn't help, I guess, in your yeah. in your grief.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the time I was a finance manager for a fintech company called Monarch. I'd only actually joined in February and this happened in April. So they're very good with me yeah. to start with. They're very good. I had, obviously, when we found out from that initial scan.
Were you working from home then? Was it?
No, I was
you're out.
In yeah. the office, yeah. They're really good with me. And then I think I had about 2 weeks off after because, like, I kind of, that stereotypical bloke kind of thing was like, right, let's get back to it then.
Oh, yeah, James Green, last guest, yeah. he went in the next day, wasn't he? Yeah. He said he didn't like, I'm not trying to compare the city, yeah, but he said he don't know why the hell he did it.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah, he was like autopilot, yeah.
And it's like that, well, what good am I going to do sat at home?
Yes.
Might as well get in and do something.
Yeah.
But I think, realistically, I should have taken more time.
Okay.
Definitely should have taken more time. And then it just sort of culminated in a... I didn't want to be there. Didn't want to be at work. I sort of... The memories part of it for me, that's where I was when
right.
like, we yeah. found out about him. And it's like just another reminder.
He's still there?
No, I'm not there anymore.
The reason yeah. I'm asking, I think you mentioned, wasn't it? So many people have after yeah. their loss is
yeah.
complete change.
Yeah.
And so now
that's what I've done. So I left in October and I've gone into property development now.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. So I bought a couple of houses. That's what I do day to day now. Is
ask him what the company's called.
It's what? The trading. Is the bearded property guy.
Brilliant.
Any yeah. good? I said he can't have a shave now.
The beardy property
I've
guy.
Got to keep the beard.
Keep the beard.
So yeah,
I love it.
Complete 180. My values changed. I think that's what changed me. My values changed.
Okay.
Before, I was very focused on earning as much money as I could, working as hard as I could. Whereas after we lost Kobe, it was kind of a realisation that, end of the day, money means nothing. Do you know what I mean? It means absolutely nothing. As long as you've got a healthy family and you're healthy, that's the main thing.
I love that. Absolutely.
And so
you need to have what you need to have to get by, but it's there's so much out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I realised that I was so stressed from going to work that when I was getting home, I was even more stressed. I wasn't enjoying my time with Rue. I was in a bad mood with Alicia.
You couldn't be the best person you could be for your kids and your wife.
And it possibly blocked your grief journey.
Yeah, definitely well. Did. Yeah.
Did anything else on that? Final question about, because we mentioned distractions, was I mean, you come across as a really strong and an exceptionally positive person.
Yeah, I try to be.
But what, you know, undoubtedly there's the moments where
I think there wasn't.
And how did you, any distractions, habits, drinks, gambling?
No,
anything like that?
I stayed well away from drink just because I didn't want to give myself the opportunity to become reliant on it and use it as an excuse.
That's a really strong thing to do, though, because there's one thing to say it and there's another thing to do it.
I drink now, but only if, like, we go out, which is like...
Social.
With the lads. So, like, we're going out in Birmingham end of April. I'll drink then, but other than that, I'm completely teetotal.
Wow, okay.
Me and Matt did a lot of work on this because I was trying to say so positive, but there was obviously times where you can't be positive and you have to accept what's happened to you. And I was struggling with that because I was like, well, I don't feel like shit. Like, I'm trying to feel good here. So I think working with Matt and accepting the shit that is and acknowledging them, having them, and then moving forward has helped me massively. And then at the time, Alicia was working Saturdays, so I used to have Rue. But obviously that meant that if I wanted to go like a Wolves game, I'd have to get child support. So I'd have to get like someone to look after Rue. So I was at the time, I wasn't really going to many Wolves games, which for the last like 6, 7, 8 years, I've been to like home and away every single game.
And for people who don't,
it's not a bad thing.
Listen, I know some people just don't get that thing, but if it's part of your life, and I've mentioned before, my team Leicester, my whole relationship with my old man was that. That was the whole thing was defined by that. And it's such a, I mean, I've not been to it there. I work at Birmingham City, so I still get to see football. But if it's such a part of your life,
I was going,
I'm really unhappy with that.
You don't see football at Birmingham City. You do not see football at Birmingham City.
I stitched up a Villa fan who was in this. It was there. We did a game last night. We got him, got him up on stage. And I just thought, is this a bit mean if I tell everyone in the room he's a Villa fan? They all booed him out of the room. I felt terrible.
Right.
But, no, I think it's a really important thing. Now, I was going to say to you, what advice would you give if you could give yourself from a year ago, advice from you now? But I think you've pretty much just answered it. But
definitely, accept what's happened, and not try and be this sort of typical bloke of like kick it down. And I think again, it's
stereotypes.
I'm very stereotypical because it was like my issue was like I wanted to help Alicia. I wanted to find how to fix the problem, and I couldn't. There's nothing I could do that could fix it. So then you end up beating yourself up, thinking like you're not good enough and you're not this and all that time you're not actually dealing with how you feel. And it's very easy for the dads to get overlooked in this whole process. And I think in birth in general, like when we had Roo, the blokes aren't looked at, rightly so, the women are looked after, but no one deals with
we've always the said blokes. They shouldn't, but it's maybe a little bit more the other
it should be like not equal, but the blokes should be taken into consideration as well. And I think it's very easy, and I did it as well. It's like, well, Alicia's gone through this. She's gone through this awful, like, physical experience as well as the mental, but she's had the physical part of it, whereas I haven't. But it's very easy then just to focus on how I can help her rather than actually how I can help myself. And when you step back and look at it, if I help myself, then that helps her in turn anyway.
Well, it's a well, isn't it? You know, you can give and you still carry on giving, but at some point you have to get, you know, something replenished for you, you know, where, you know,
100%,
in whatever mental capacity that is.
Yeah, definitely.
I would like to, before we finish, say congratulations. I hope I'm not this, because you are. Can I say this?
Yeah, you can. Go for it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's too late. If
I haven't said it yet.
No, it could be congratulating about being a Wolves fan.
Yeah. I was about to say congratulations on not being a stereotypical male by being a builder who's got a beard. Project, you know what's
bearded,
the official?
The bearded property guy.
The bearded. Well, I'll put the link for that in the description. Yeah, I love that. But yes, you and Alicia are expecting.
Yeah, we are. We're expecting a due date of 18th of April.
Which is... how do you feel about that being like a year?
Yeah.
So it's almost the same date, is that right?
Yeah, Kobe was born on the 7th of April. This pregnancy has gone okay. A few complications with gestational diabetes. So we are thinking they might get the baby out earlier.
Right.
Which could then land on the 7th.
I'm assuming it's been
It's been, I wouldn't say horrendous, because to be honest with you, I tried to block a lot of it out.
Yeah.
And I've spoke to Matt about it, and I know everyone's individual, but for me, the idea when people say, "Oh, you need to try and enjoy it," like there is no fucking enjoyment.
You just want it compared to Reuben. You just want to get there. You want
Do you know what I mean? If I could clip my fingers and the baby be out tomorrow, I would. Like, I have no enjoyment whatsoever from this pregnancy, and I don't personally, from my experience, I don't know how people even manage to enjoy it, because you know, when with Root, we never knew any of this. Do you know what I mean? I was so uneducated. I didn't have a clue. All I knew.
Why would
was
you?
Ignorance is bliss,
yeah, man. Get past 12 weeks. Everyone says 12 weeks.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, sound 12 weeks. Are we 12 weeks yet, Alicia? Yeah, we're 12. Oh, brill, right.
We had an episode where that's not been mentioned, the magic 12-week bullshit market.
It's bullshit. And like I said on the baby loss awareness week.
Yeah,
like,
you did actually. Yeah.
It's like how, if I was as educated now as I am, when we found out with Kobe, it would have made the whole thing... not better, of course, it's still shit, but it'd have made it easier for me to deal with, because it's not a shock. Because
more manageable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shock. We had to deal with the shock of shit, this has happened, and you don't expect it. And then obviously I'm meeting so many other people now that have been through the same things, and you like, you don't realise until you start speaking up about it how many people this has happened to. So I've been quite vocal on Facebook, and the amount of messages that I've got off people that have opened up to me and said, "Oh, we actually lost a child," or "we've lost a child."
So you're already helping people that you don't realise you're helping from. I think you're brilliant. Thank you. Ryan and Matt, any final thoughts?
No, I'm all good.
No words?
No, I think
well done, Dave. Really good.
Yeah, I think you spoke really well, David. Well done.
Cheers, mate.
I don't want to patronise you saying well done. Well done, A star, well done. But no, I think you've done yourself proud. You've done Kobe proud. You've spoken really well.
Yeah, you have.
And very honest. And like I say, you've given a voice. Well, I say given a voice. You've validated people's experiences that have had to tragically and devastatingly have to make that choice to terminate a pregnancy, and you know, that within itself, I know he's going to be a great help to so many other people.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Yeah. David, all the best, buddy.
Pleasure to be here.
And if you would like to join us, and like I say, it can be, you can just join us via Zoom, you can come back in the studio. If you don't want to do a whole episode, even just come in. Maybe we should get your mate Macca in, because one thing I'm quite interested in, maybe having the friend of someone.
Yeah, man.
To get that perspective on something. So maybe that's something we could even do with you at a further date.
Yeah. I do like, though, having somebody in the studio, like you say, rather than having a crick neck looking at the screen.
Yeah. All right, brilliant. Thank you very much. This has been the Still Parents Podcast, supported by Globals. Make some noise. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.